Well, we are in a series of lessons looking at the one another passages or statements in the Bible, and where the Bible talks about love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, those kinds of things. And we're pretty deep into this process. And today, we're going to take a look at one that's called restoring one another. And what's going to happen, what you're going to see is in your life, you're going to find there are going to be people in your life who get caught up in a sin, and it's wrecking their life, or you can see that it's heading in a direction that's going to, they're off the wrong path. They're on the wrong path, off the right path, and you're going to feel like you need to step in. And sometimes you're going to find yourself caught by a sin, one that's just, it's not healthy for you, it's not healthy for the people in your life, and it's harmful for you and for others and for relationships, and you're going to need people to step into your life and invest into your life to help you get restored to the right path. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about this thing, restoration. Now, thanks to channels like HGTV and DIY, okay, all right. Many people clearly understand restoring something, okay? And I got a couple of pictures I want to show you. The first picture is a dresser drawer or something. Yeah, there you go. Now, over time, things, they get broken, they get scratched, they get damaged, it's just time does this thing. Being moved around, being used, and those kinds of things. And sometimes you just have to just take something and you got to restore it. And restoring it means, sanding it down, patching some holes, replacing parts, giving it a coat of paint, whatever you got to do to this thing to make it, usable in some way or better. And you understand restoring that process, something that's damaged or broken that needs to be restored. Well, here's another picture. If the drawers don't work for you, maybe this one does. We have some trucks. Yeah, should have had something like, what's that guy on Cars, the truck, the goofy truck with the teeth? Mater? I should have had that one, now that I'm thinking about it. Anyway, some guys like to restore automobiles. They'll take a truck and they'll sand it down, get the rust off, order new parts, and they'll work on the engine. And they just replace stuff, the interior. And they turn this thing into something that's just awesome and gorgeous for them. And that's restoring something. That's restoration. But the rust and the damage and stuff happens over time. And our lives are exactly the same way. When it comes to being restored, there are times in your life where you just find yourself, you find, sinful rust, you find bad habits, you find holes in your life, you find parts that are broken mentally and emotionally, and sometimes it can get to the point to where you're no good to yourself and you're no good to anybody. But you can fix some things up along the way before it gets too bad, but it's always going to be restoring. Here's the broken you, here's the new you. Here's the damaged you, here's the new you, And this process, to be honest with you, is painful. It's difficult for everybody involved. If you're the one that needs the restoration process happening, it's hard to let people, if you'll just follow with me, sand the rust off of you, Take some parts off and apply new parts and get in and invest in your life and open up the hood and get into the heart of who you are and emotionally and mentally. And it can be uncomfortable, it can be awkward, it can be embarrassing, and it can be scary. But however, if you find yourself off the right path and you're on the wrong path and you realize I need help, this is for you today. Okay? Or if you know somebody who is in your life who they need some restoration going on in their life, and you may be the person who is a major player in their restoration and helping them get back on the right path. And so that's what we're talking about today, this restoring one another. Now, with that said, take a look at Galatians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, that's great. You can turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. If you have a bulletin, there should be an outline in there. Most of the scriptures are provided for you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Now, here's what the Bible says. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, now that's important, is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we're talking about this incredible process called restoring one another, sharing each other's burdens. And Lord, in this room, there are people who are struggling with some sin in their life, and it's harmful to them, and it's harmful to their relationships. And Lord, they feel overcome by it. They feel caught by it. Lord, I'm asking that you would deliver them. And Lord, I understand part of that deliverance will include other believers getting involved in that person's life. And Lord, I pray that they will let other believers involved in that process. And Lord, for us who know of people who that are believers in our life that are caught and overcome by sin and want help, Lord, I pray that you would help us make the time, give the effort, and invest in their life to help them and to share this burden with them as they try to get back on the right path. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me give you some principles about restoration, restoring one another, out of Galatians chapter 6. Number one, restoring one another requires a recognition of sin. There's no way around it. I know in our world, you know, we want to all be politically correct, and we don't want to call certain things sin, and we don't like using the word sin. But hey, I mean, you're at church here today, and the Bible talks about sin. Are y'all aware of that? Okay, there's sin everywhere in the Bible. But we're going to have to recognize sin if we're going to be involved in being restored or helping others restored. And in Galatians chapter 6, it says, if another believer is overcome by some sin. Now, the word overcome means to be caught. It means to be trapped. It means to be overtaken. It means to be enslaved, okay? So let me say up front to you, this is not a permission slip for you to become the sin police of everybody in your life. And every time you see any hint of sin, you go, oh, I need to help you overcome that sin in your life. Okay? That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? This is talking about someone who is overcome by this sin that, I mean, they are caught, they're trapped, they need help, and they want help. They recognize this. And everyone has sin they struggle with, and sometimes it's a daily or weekly fight for some of you. It's a temptation you wrestle with. But in this case, we're talking about, again, someone being overcome. And this particular sin in their life causes them to make irrational decisions, poor decisions. It's hurtful to them and hurtful to others. So that's what we're talking about. But we got to be able to recognize it. So if you're in Galatians chapter 6, or if you got your outline, but if you'll take Galatians chapter 6, you got to understand the context. If you just back up to Galatians chapter 5 and go a few verses back, you'll come to Galatians 5:19. And it gives us a list of sins. So here's some things that you say, okay, these are some sins that people can get caught up in, and it begins to destroy their life, and it begins to be hurtful to them. And these are the types of sins that you can, have on your list here, you know, to be aware of. Galatians 5:19 says this: when you follow the desires of the sinful nature, the results are very clear. And here they are. You ready? Sexual immorality. Now, I want to tell you, in America, I mean, there's a lot of folks caught up in that. I mean, they're entrapped by this thing. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. And if those aren't on your list, then it just kind of says, and other sins like these. Gotcha. Okay, with that phrase. So here's the deal. He's just kind of given us some thoughts in his mind. In Galatians 5:19, Paul's the one writing this, and he says, look, here's some sins that you can just be aware of that people have a tendency to get entrapped by, enslaved by, and overcome by. And now you're looking at that list, and you may think, well, I see one I struggle with. Now, there's a big difference between fighting and struggling with one and overcome by it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes you need to have people in your life because you get your blind spots, and you need to have those folks in your life who say, no, this thing is controlling you more than you realize, okay? You need to be able to receive that. And sometimes it's hard for believers to say that. Again, you want to be humble about this, and we'll talk about that in a moment. So when the Bible says, if another believer is overcome by some sin, referring to a sin they cannot break free from, you know, again, this might be something like what we would call an addiction of some type. But again, just don't think of the really evil, bad sins that you normally hear about. You still have things like quarreling. I mean, think about it. There are some people who they love drama. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they don't seem to be happy unless they're in a fight with somebody. You know, they like to argue, they like to quarrel. I mean, you know, if Pam is not meaning my wife, but if Pam is quarreling with, you know, with person A, and Pam is quarreling with person B, and Pam is quarreling with person C, and Pam is quarreling with person D, who's got the quarreling problem? Probably Pam. Not meaning my wife. So when you're looking at this, realize that to be overcome by sin, there are some things that you can sort of hide in some way. Sometimes you can be overcome by jealousy to where you're just making irrational thoughts. Man, you're making irrational decisions in this relationship. It can hurt you. So we have to be able to recognize sin and call it for what it is. So that's number one. If we're going to do this restoration thing, we've got to do that. Number two, restoring one another is for the spiritually minded. Galatians chapter 6 says this: if another believer is overcome by some sin, then it says, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. Now, this identifies who should be doing the restoration. It's those who are godly. Now, that sounds intimidating because, to be honest with you, how many of us are going to say, you know, we see a brother or sister caught in a sin and they want to help. In our mind, how many of us go like, you know what? I am a godly person. I qualify for this. Let me help you. You know, we're not going to do that. We don't think like, yes, I'm the most godliest person in the room. I should be the one in charge of this restoration process. That's not how this happens. That's not what that means. This word godly just simply means you have a spiritual approach to life. It may mean that you're very godly. It may mean you're very spiritual. And maybe you mean you're very mature. But you filter everything through, you know, spiritual lenses. Okay? Matter of fact, most translations, they don't use the word godly. Most translations actually use the word spiritual. You have a spiritual perspective about this. You're seeing this where, you know, you're going to involve praying and biblical counseling. You can see this, you know, spiritual includes, you know, their emotions and their mental state and all that kind of stuff. It's all of that. You have a spiritual mindset. You have a kingdom mindset about this. And so when we're talking about being spiritual, you're going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as you are seeking to help these people get back on the right path. That's number two. Now number three. Restoring one another requires gentleness. Galatians 6, again, take a look at this. If another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Now, let's talk about this word gentle here, being gently, treating them gently. To understand this word, treating them gently, okay, let's think about it this way. I like to go fishing, okay? So now there are times where, most of the time when I go fishing, I don't keep the fish. I just catch and release. It's just a sport. It's a hobby, you know, that kind of thing for me. And sometimes if I'm planning on, you know, we're planning on having a fish fry or something like that, I'll keep them. But most of the time, I catch and release. And so now I could just catch the fish, take the, so, oh, too bad, you got a hook in your mouth, tight, squeeze them real tight, and just yank it out of them. Okay, anybody grossed out yet? Yeah, so, but really what I like to do is I like to take the fish, you know, hold them gently, hold them properly, and then I try to work the hook out, you know, trying to create as little damage as possible, because there's a hook in their mouth, there's a hook somewhere in them, and it's, you know, it's already damaged, they're hooked by this thing, and it's my job to work that thing out and then, you know, release them into the water gently. So what the Bible is telling us here is that when you're helping somebody overcome a sin in their life, when they're entrapped, when they're caught by the hook of the sin, and they can't release themselves, you're going to have to be a part of the process. You need to do it gently. You've got to remove the hook, if you will. Help remove the hook. You know, it's going to hurt. Sometimes they're still going to, you know, try to flop around a little bit. And sometimes you do just have to back off and let them flop around the boat. You know, say, okay, you done? Okay, all right. Pick them back up and go through the process and then release them. That's what that word gently means. There's a hook there. It's going to hurt. But because you love and care for this person, you're going to help remove that hook as gently as possible. Okay? That's what that word means. Now, but the idea, there is some humility there with it. This is not approaching this person saying, look, I got my life together. You obviously don't. I'm better than you are. Let me show you how to do this. You know, you wouldn't have got the hook in your mouth if you would have. done what I, you know, don't go into this whole condemnation thing, this guilt thing. I mean, they already know they're caught. They already know they're messed up, you know, at this point. When they're asking for you to help, or if you've approached them and they recognize, yes, I need help, I want to tell you, this is a gentle, humble process for you. That's how you need to approach it. Now, this takes us to number four. Restoring one another is about reestablishing. Okay, Galatians chapter 6 says this: if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. That you're helping to reestablish them on the right road, in the right direction. That's what you're doing here. Now, a lot of times this reestablishing, you know, again, it can involve actual behavior. Sometimes it deals mostly with a right frame of mindset and helping them to think right and to feel right, which produces the right behavior. Okay, and so you're bringing some wisdom, you're bringing some counsel into this thing. You're helping them get back onto the right, on the right path. The concept of restoring in the New Testament was applied to things like this. This little phrase, "help that person back onto the right path." Some translations actually use the word restoring. To restore one another in this case. But that word, it was usually referred to restoring harmony between groups that were in conflict, getting them back on the right path. It was also used to describe setting a broken bone, getting it lined up, or putting a dislocated limb back into place, or to mend a broken net that had been broken so it can be used. It also has the idea of someone traveling down the road but being corrected so they get back on the right path. Now, when I travel, I use a GPS system, okay? And so in my car, I have got this little GPS box. If that doesn't work, I got my phone. You know, I mean, I've got GPSs everywhere, you know what I'm saying? If that doesn't work, my wife will let me know where I need to turn. So I'll plug it into the GPS thing, and there are times where we're traveling, and I'm talking away, you know, doing my thing, and I get distracted, and I'm not paying attention. Now, I don't like the little voice, by the way, you know, the woman's voice, because she's rude, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Because she sounds to, I mean, maybe it's just a Jeff Stott thing, but I feel like she's bossing me. You know, and in my opinion, I wish I could do different language, not language, but different, you know, have somebody on there that says, "Hey, handsome, you're driving really good. I just want to let you know that you need to take a right here in about 0.1 miles. You know, something like that, you know, and have a sweet voice. And then when after I take the turn, "Good job." You know, I'm impressed. That's the kind of GPS I want, okay? All right? So I don't have the GPS volume on, so I'm just driving, and I just look at it from time to time. And there are times where when I'm traveling, especially long trips, you know, you just kind of lose track of time and distance and that stuff. And I'm just driving, and I realize I just missed a turn. You know, and so what I do is I'm driving, and then I'm looking at the GPS, and I'm waiting for it to recalculate, you know what I'm saying? And what it's going to do is it's going to say, okay, now you need to go up here, take another right, you know, another mile or whatever, and then it'll turn me around, or it'll take me some other route, and it'll get me back on the right path, even though I've had to make a detour. Now, there are times in restoring someone to the right path just simply means you have to recalculate for them and help them find a new path to get back to the right path. And sometimes that may be counseling. Sometimes that may be, you know, some kind of intervention, which we'll talk about in a moment. Sometimes that may be a change of life habit. That may be a change of friends, a change of something to where they have to make some different steps, and you're helping them do this to get them back to the right path. You become, if you will, their GPS. You're guiding them back. You're helping them get back to the right path. So we're reestablishing them. So that's what we're doing when we're restoring one another. Now, number five. Restoring one another comes with a risk. It comes with a risk. Galatians 6:1, we are given this warning. It says, "And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." Now let's be real clear on this statement. It says, be careful not to fall into the same what? Yeah, same temptation, not the same sin. This is huge. There are times where you can get caught into your own temptation. It may be similar to the one you're helping. You fall into the same pattern. And if your hook, if you will, if your temptation is pride, you can easily find yourself helping people to get restored, and you are getting caught and overtaken by pride of helping others do that rather than doing it with gentleness and humility like we just talked about a while ago. And so as you're helping people, you're going to find yourself battling your own sins, battling your own struggles, whatever those things are, and you may find yourself falling into a temptation in an area as you're helping others. And obviously, this is significant enough to where the Bible says, look, when you're helping others be restored, pay attention to your own life. Don't get caught up in your own temptations, whatever those things may be. Because sometimes when you're helping others with sin, it can somehow affect you to where you begin to approve of your own sin because what you're doing is not so as bad as what they're doing. But it comes with a risk. And now number six. Restoring one another demonstrates love. Galatians 6:2 says this, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. That's sweet. To share each other's burdens is referring to the burden of overcoming sin in our life. You can help carry other people's financial burdens or, you know, child caring burdens. You know, you can help people move and you can help people find jobs and all this kind of stuff, go visit people in hospital and those kinds of things. But in this particular case, in this context, this sharing the burden is about sharing each other's sin burden. To where I say, man, I am struggling with this sin. I don't know what to do with it. It seems to control me. I've fought it for years, and I just cannot get the hook out of my mouth on this thing. Can you help me? And when you step in and you start helping them get back on the right path, you start restoring them, and you start helping removing all that sinful rust, and you start helping them get new parts, and you begin helping them through that process and gently removing the hook, and this is going to take some time, and as you begin doing this, you are sharing that burden with one another. And I don't know why Christians are this way. I mean, I do, but I don't want to get into it. But man, I don't know what the deal is for us. We struggle with just admitting and saying something like this to one another. I struggle with, and then fill in the blank. And I think it's because we're afraid of rejection, we're afraid of being humiliated, we're afraid of being embarrassed, and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible says to share each other's burdens. Help us get back on the right path. But also it says here at the very end of this thing, and then we're wrapping this up, and it says this. It says, when you do this, we are obeying the law of Christ. Now, the law of Christ is the law of love. And this is what Jesus said. He said this in John 13. He said, I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Now, this is beyond just being kind and nice to each other. Man, this is when you have a sin in your life and you know it, and you're admitting it to some group in your life, and you're saying, you know what? I need help. And then they come into you, they gently and they humbly, they accept you, they receive you, they help you, they invest in your life. And as believers who are struggling with sin or helping each other grow and to get the hooks out of their mouths, and the world is going to see this, that we're not rejecting people because of sin, we're actually embracing them because of it. And that makes a huge difference. And so whatever it is that's going on in your life, you know, look, we're not, as Genesis Church, we're not here to point your sin out and say, you know, you're a bad person, shame on you, don't ever come back. No, we want you and your sin to show up every Sunday. We want you and your sin to show up to that life group. We want you and your sin to, if you need to, you can come up later after the service, and there will be some folks up here in a moment that you can pray with immediately. They can talk to you. They can get you going in the right direction, give you some godly counsel, at least for today at this moment in your life. But it's a demonstration of love. Now, there is one key point that you need to be aware of when it says you who are godly. That word you, you want to circle that because this is important. That is not a singular you. It is not up to you as an individual to restore this individual. That word you is a plural you. What you have in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 is God's plan of an intervention. This is where several people gather around an individual and they share his or her burden, the sin in their life, and help walk with them and carry things for them and pray for them and counsel them, and over time help see them go from a rusty piece of junk to something incredible. Are y'all hearing my heart today? You seeing the power of this restoration ministry? I mean, this could be liberating for some people. And this could be life-changing for some people if this would happen in their life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much that you have placed people in our life who love us. And Lord, there are people in our life who are close enough to us, and we recognize that we need their honesty. We need them to be blunt with us and real and authentic and genuine. And Lord, everyone in this room, they know their own personal sin that they battle with. But Lord, there are some, it's more than a battle. To them, they are a POW. They are encamped, they are imprisoned by this sin, and they need help. And Lord, whatever we can do as a Genesis church, as a family of believers, Lord, help us to be able to do that. Help us to be able to restore one another and to share each other's burdens as we journey together. And it's in Jesus' precious and powerful name we pray. Amen. This morning, you found in your seat a welcome card. And that welcome card is more than just to let us know you're here or you want more information, but it's also to let us know if you'd like for somebody to give you a call this week and say, and sit down with you or talk to you on the phone, and you just need some time to hash some things out that's going on in your life, and you just want some counsel, advice, or just a loving listening ear, we are here for you. We want to do that. But if you need someone to talk to today about becoming a follower of Jesus or about something that's going on in your life, Ben is going to be up here. He'll hang around up here. Also, Jeff and Angie Anderson, they're going to be hanging up around here today, and you can just talk to them as well. And they're people we trust. They're godly folks. They will give you some good advice. All right? All right, you glad you came to church today? All right. Did you worship God today? Did you receive from his word today? You going to do something with it? Okay, wow. Okay, all right, Ben, I'm going to turn over to Ben, and he can wrap it up for us.
Okay, a couple quick announcements before we leave. Let me remind you a couple things Jamie said. One, if you show up here next week for church, good luck. You'll be by yourself, and so that's fine, but we'll be back at the Y. So just remember, next Sunday we'll be back at the Y. If you want to worship through giving, we're not going to pass a plate. There will be an offering box over there as you walk out. And so if you want to worship through giving, we invite you to do that. Finally, we've been taking pictures all the month of October for a church pictorial directory. And so that's not limited to those of you that are partners or members. If Genesis Church is your church, if this is where you've said in your mind, this is the place I worship, we'd like to get a picture of you for our church directory. And that's going to happen the next 2 weeks. Awesome. Okay. And so for the next two Sundays, we'll be able to do that. So if you haven't had a chance to do that, the next two Sundays, you can show up a little early at the Y, and we'll get those taken for you. One more thing before we end. At the end of the service, periodically, we like to share wind stories or things that have gone well. And this morning, I just want to mention that a really good wind story was that this happened today. And so I just want to say thank you. There are 15 or 20 people that show up about an hour or 2 hours early every Sunday to set this up. There are women and men that come and they get up early and they show up and set up the cafe and the computer stuff and the chairs and all this. And we did not have a dry run this morning. You know, sound system. Yeah. So there we go. And the sound system. And so we have a lot of people that show up. And so We did not have an opportunity to, you know, test everything or dry run. It just happened. So let me say that. That's an awesome opportunity to do that. But also, that's a plug for, if this is your church, we want you to be involved in ministry. And some of you would say, I can't teach. I'm scared of children and adults, and I just don't want to be there. And so I would invite you, then do this. Help us once a month set up or tear down. You don't have to be able to plug stuff in the right way. You know, you can put chairs in a straight line. And if you can't put them in a straight line, we'll fix it for you. And so it's all good. And so if you'd be interested in helping us out with that, you can put your name, email address on that welcome card. And we would love for the help with that. But I just want to say, one of the great things that happens every week is, again, there's a lot of people that show up every week to set up computers for Gen Kids and sound stuff to make us all sound better than we actually are, and cafe people that give us coffee to wake up, and chairs that are set up. And so it's a good thing that happens every week. So I want you to stand. Have a blessed week this week. God bless you.